Well, good early resurrection morning. Well, some of you haven't had your coffee yet. Good early resurrection morning. Thank you for a great response back. Today, we talk about Jesus coming back to life. Last week, we talked about the crucifixion and Jesus being put to death. Now, let's be honest. Had the story ended there, then all of our hopes would have been dashed. We would be worshiping a dead God, a dead Savior. But that's not the case. The case is that there's the rest of the story. And after the cross comes the resurrection. And listen, today, Jesus, listen, with that resurrection, we begin to look at how Jesus really proves his divinity, how he really proves that he is God in the flesh. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 through 12. Luke 24, verse 1 through 12, and then 36 through 47. Robert Flatt said, "The resurrection gives my life meaning and direction and the opportunity to start over no matter what my circumstances." Amen. Praise God that he gives us an opportunity to begin again. Luke chapter 24. When Jesus passed away that evening, it was about 3 o'clock when he passed away. Passover begins late evening, about dark, about 6. So his body had to be removed off the cross before that time. But it being so late, we find that his body had not had quite the anointing that the Jewish people are used to. But he was buried anyway. So we pick up the story in verse 1 of chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that were gleaming like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." And when they remembered this, then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Let's pick up over in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be to you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. And they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. And he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" Jesus must have been a Cajun and a Jew. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I've told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds that they could understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of this. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we thank you today for we can celebrate this time of resurrection. God, that we can celebrate the life after death. And Father, I pray that your message brings reality to us. Lord, teach us, bring it deep into our souls, Lord. Help us evaluate where we stand with you. And God, may we draw closer to you each step of the way. In Christ's name, amen. So there are many events and testimonies that followed Christ. See, a lot of people think Jesus was just a good teacher. They thought he was a good rabbi. They believed some good things about him. And even the world, even the lost world, likes his teachings about loving one another. But listen, Jesus was more than just a good teacher. Had he just been a good teacher, he would have died and that would have been it. He'd have left a few transcripts for us, manuscripts to go back and to look back over and say how we can live a better life. And for many in the world, that's all they want, is how to be a better person. But Jesus was so much more than a good teacher or a good rabbi or a physician or a healer. No, he was Lord Almighty. Proof of this. We see several things, some evidence about Jesus dying and living and buried and then living again. The first one is this, is that we see that there was a death and a burial of Jesus. What's the proof of all this? See, hundreds of people were drawn to this horrific occasion. The thousands of people were gathered there in Jerusalem for the Passover, and one of the things they did was free a criminal back to the people. And Jesus was chosen to be crucified, and Barabbas the criminal set free. Jesus was there. He was beaten by Roman torturers, and the people saw this. They saw all the things that were going on, that were happening to Jesus. His disciples even saw it from a distance. They knew what was going on with Christ. There he was forced to carry his heavy wooden beam to be crucified. The Lord was nailed to the cross and hung between two thieves who were justly paying the consequences for their sin. We see this. We know that he died and was buried. Jesus hung on a cross suffering from about 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He suffered and he suffocated. A horrific death, as we covered last week. He died, to be sure. He was dead. The soldiers even drove a spear into his side just to make sure that he was gone completely. So there was no hoax going on. Jesus died a legitimate death as we do. Matter of fact, a torturous death. But he was all the more just dead. So there was no hoax. There was no games. There was no deception going on to try to fool anyone that Jesus may have still been a little bit alive. No, he was completely dead. Then a devout and upright man named Joseph asked for Jesus' body to bury it. Many times, what would happen is when a criminal would die on a cross, they would leave it out for the wild animals to devour. But this, Joseph wanted Jesus' body. And he took Jesus' body and went and buried him in his own tomb. The ladies had prepared all the things to anoint Jesus' body because it was approaching the Sabbath. They did not have time to go anoint Jesus' body. You ever wonder why these women were going to the tomb so early in the morning? They went so early in the morning because they went to anoint his body after the Sabbath. So there wasn't any doubt that Jesus had died. There wasn't any doubt that Jesus had been buried. And a huge stone placed over his grave. We hear this, but so oftentimes there are many people in the world who doubt these things happened. Huge stone. The second thing we want to see is that Jesus did rise from the dead. So all of Christianity hangs on this fact. Think about it. Your faith and my faith would be dead if Jesus had just died on the cross and been buried. But the truth of the matter is, our faith has life because Jesus has life. Your faith, you are no longer in your sin, Christian, because Jesus set you free. When you receive what he did on Calvary's cross, yet not just on the cross, but in the resurrection. The resurrection gives you life and gives you power. All of Christianity hangs on this fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead. He was legitimately dead, and he's legitimately alive. Jesus' teachings and demonstration of love and compassion are given as an example to live by. We are to love God and love one another, but face the facts. Jesus had only been that good teacher if it stopped short of the resurrection. If anything that Jesus had done stopped short of the resurrection, he would have been a liar. Because he said, 3 days I'll rise again. 3 days I'll rise again. Jesus is either God in the flesh or he's a liar. He's either God in the flesh or he's a liar. Maybe he would have been just another good rabbi who come around and stirred up everyone thinking that he was the Messiah and trying to fool others and be proven a fake. But no, Jesus had not. What proofs that the resurrection of Jesus took place? What are some of the proofs? As Christians, we need to know these things that are fact about Christ. Physical evidence, which is proof that Jesus was buried and rose again. The first one is this, is that the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. So when they buried Jesus and put him in this cut-out cave inside of a rock, which is acting as a grave, acting as a tomb, Jesus' body was placed in there. Huge stone was rolled in front of it, so no odors or anything would get out. That big stone was rolled away. You see, when that stone was put in front of the tomb, chief priests started thinking, well, maybe his disciples will come steal his body and then try to tell everyone else that he resurrected from the dead. So, you know what? We better take some safety precautions here. So they put a couple of armed guards in front of the tomb, in front of the rock, and then they turned around and sealed the stone so it couldn't be moved by any human efforts. Through all of this, think about it. All these precautions, the stone was still rolled away. And the guards, they lied there as if they were dead. Because an angel came and the earth began to quake and they were frightened and shocked and passed out. And the rock was broken and removed. We also see as proof, not only was the stone rolled away, but the tomb was empty. So it's not just one thing that the stone was moved back. The grave, the tomb, had no body. Jesus' body was gone completely. See, he walked out of the grave and waited for an encounter with those who came to visit. Some peeked in the tomb and saw the grave clothes and the angel, but Jesus was gone. And in tradition of Jewish carpenters, when they would finish with a job, they would take their clothes or their cloths or whatever they had were using, and they would fold it up and place it on the end, signifying that the job is completed. Building a table or cabinets in someone's house, it was completed. It's believed that when they looked into the tomb and they saw the grave clothes on the side, it was all folded up. Jesus was a carpenter by trade, as if to tell the world, the job is finished. The job is complete. I've resurrected, as I said. So we also see that the grave was empty, but there were angels there. So when angels are on the scene, then something miraculous is taking place. Have you seen an angel today? No, don't nudge your wife and say, oh, baby, you're an angel. I'm not talking about that. I mean, a real angel. See, that's not an occurrence that we see every day or even hear about every day. From time to time, we'll hear that you know, an appearance of an angel, or hear, or someone spoke to someone special, and they just sense it was different. Angels are sent by God for particular purposes, for particular reasons, and it's always dealing with something very special that God wants to present to us. The visible presence of angels is God's way of indicating to the people that this is a supernatural, divinely planned part of His providence. So when God sends an angel to deliver a message or to intervene in the situation, it's part of God's providential plan. So God had angels at the tomb on that resurrection morning. The angel spoke directly to the women at the tomb in verse 5 and verse 6. It says, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. See, Peter ran to witness the empty tomb for himself. And this leads us to the third proof that Jesus resurrected from the dead. And the third one is that Jesus is alive. So not only is the stone rolled back, not only is the tomb empty, is that Jesus is alive. So someone didn't just go in and take his body and remove it and put it somewhere else. No, Jesus is physically alive. On their way back to the tomb, Jesus met Mary and Martha. He told them to tell the disciples that he was alive. And on this occasion, these women, verse 9 says, they clasped his feet and they worshiped him. They could actually hold on to his feet and worship him. He was physically alive. They saw his body go into the tomb. They saw it dead. They saw it mangled and almost unrecognizable. And they saw the stone rolled in front. And now when they visit, one day later, stone is rolled back, tomb is empty, and they meet Jesus face to face in his glorified body, where he was barely recognizable because of the glory of the Lord shine upon him. He was no longer mangled from the beating and from the crucifixion. The only thing he remained on him was the nail pierced in his hands and in his feet. Oh, what a beautiful sight. These ladies physically touched Jesus. They had this brief conversation with Jesus. As a living person, they had a conversation with their Lord. We see a few verses later, Cleopas and another disciple walking to the town of Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they had an encounter with Jesus. And these men were discussing the very things that had happened 2 days before, the crucifixion, and now hearing about the resurrection. See, the first thing is Jesus didn't reveal himself to him. He just walked along with them. I love when Jesus does that for us. A lot of times you'll never know Jesus is with you, and he's walking along with you the whole time. No matter what troubles you're going through, Jesus is walking along with you. Walking along with you, wanting for you to lean upon him. He just walked with them and went to the village where they were staying at the house and to the supper table. And Jesus gave thanks for the bread and broke it and began to give it to them. When their eyes were open and they recognized him, and then he disappeared. Listen, Jesus was so alive. He walked with them, talked with them, went to their house, ate supper with them. And when he gave thanks, they recognized who he was. The Bible says he disappeared. We also see these men went to tell the 11, and they, as they were speaking, Jesus appeared and stood among them, verse 36 says, and they thought that he was a ghost, and they were terrified. You imagine they were in his room, doors locked because of the they were afraid of the Roman government. They were afraid that soldiers would come and take them away. So they were there still talking about what had happened, where it happened to the body of Jesus. Where's it gone to? And Jesus appears right among them. He didn't open the door. He didn't unlock it. He didn't knock. He just came in. Glorified body of Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. I would have thought he was a ghost. And you would have too. Think about us having church this morning. We're not really afraid of the military coming in and taking us away. If Jesus just walked through the walls and said among you, what would you think? After half of us passed out, the other half running out the door, not knowing what's going on. This is the way they were feeling and sensed this fear. They thought Jesus was a ghost. Then Jesus showed him his hands and his feet. He said, touch and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bone as you see I have. Jesus is alive. They saw him there on the cross. They saw him buried. And now they see him alive. We also see here Jesus asking for something to eat. Jesus came back from the dead hungry. A ghost doesn't eat. Last I remember, he wanted something to eat. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Now, I'm thinking it was in, you know, with a little slap your mama on it or something. And he took it and he ate it in their presence to show them, listen, here's my hands, touch me. Here's the nail prints. Look at me. Can you give me something to eat? And he ate in front of them to prove to them over and over that he's alive. And all of these physical proofs validated Jesus was alive in interacting with people. Jesus died, was buried, rose from the dead, and listen, he's very much alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that Jesus appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12, and to more than 500 people at one time. And he appeared to James, and even to Paul. There's so much proof of Jesus being alive. If Jesus is alive, like we say he is, like God's word says he is, are you living like Jesus is alive? Are you living like Jesus is resurrected? Are you just living for retirement? Are you just living for the cemetery? Are you just living for heaven? Are you living like Jesus is alive in your life today? The resurrected Savior. You see, all of this proves Jesus' divinity. Yes, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. He is exactly who he claimed to be. But not only has he resurrected and is alive, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said it very simply. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, verse 25, 26. He said this to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever believes and believes in me will never die. He asked her, do you believe this? Before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he put forth this truth to her that he was the resurrection and life. Not only did this happen to him, not only did he experience a resurrection, but he says, I am the resurrection. Jesus is declaring that he is the author and the cause of the resurrection. It all depends on his authority and his power. Jesus is the cause of life and the deliverer of death. Jesus' authority transcends the physical and the spiritual reality of all humanity and all creation. It's all subject to him. God has willed his providence in the world, the spirit world, and the eternal heaven and a new earth. Jesus' resurrection was the event which claimed to the world both the physical and the spiritual of Jesus' deity. An event really dumbfounds man. Because it's illogical. How could a person come back to life? How could a person who's been dead 3 days come back to life? We saw him die. How could he come back to life? It's illogical. People in the world want to rationalize. It just doesn't make sense. No, it's supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. Jesus is the giver of life and the physical life to the soul and quickens the spirit to have existence. In Jesus, all life is inherent on him, its origin, its maintenance, consummation, and destination. It's all in Jesus. Listen, today, if you're just worshiping Jesus as an outside, you know, as somebody, as a supreme being, listen, it's everything about you is in Jesus. Everything. He created, he maintains, he supports everything. Your destination will be with Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the power which opens every grave. Jesus is our life. He gives life to us, with us, through us. He operates through his Holy Spirit. He consumes us. Jesus owns his life and his resurrection and ours. The only hope that we ever have of reaching heaven is that our bodies too resurrect from the grave. Just like Jesus. And because Jesus resurrected, when our faith is in him, we trust what he did on Calvary's cross for us. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. We too have that promise that when Christ comes again, our bodies will be raised from the grave just like his. Not with all these deformities, not with all the illnesses, not with all the things that we wish were better. No, a body of perfection like Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is the person of Jesus. As Jesus asked Martha that question, do you believe this? In verse 27 of John 11, Martha responds, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is a resurrection and a life? Or is it just a holiday you celebrate with your family? Do you really believe everything about Jesus that he says about himself? All of the facts that prove Jesus' death and burial and rising again are not helpful if you do not believe. I heard this a little while back. When is the good news of Jesus Christ no longer the good news? When it gets there too late. When a person dies without Christ because no one ever told them about Jesus. When a person dies without hope because no one ever said anything to them about this Jesus. You see, when we truly believe and embrace that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we take a change in our life. We no longer do a church thing. We no longer put Jesus as one of the things in our life. Jesus becomes the center of our life. He becomes the Lord of our life, and our life now begins to focus around him. He is the resurrection and the life. If you believe anything else about Jesus, listen, that's your own prerogative. You have the right to believe whatever you like about Jesus. However, what you believe does not change the truth of who Jesus is. Jesus is a resurrection and a life. Who or what does your faith lie in this morning? See, in Jesus, you have resurrection power to live the life that he's called you to live. Christian, you have the power in you, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have that resurrection power to live the life for Him that He wants you to live. He has called you to live set apart. He's called you to live differently than the rest of the world. You can't do it in your own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. We'll fall flat on our face. But listen, the resurrected Jesus that we celebrate this morning, He gives us the power to live above the things that used to drag us down. He gives us the power to live beyond the past that we created that messed things up. Jesus gives us the power to live as godly, holy people today. Do you know this Jesus as your Savior? He's not asking you to be anything that He didn't create you to be. God is not asking you to be anything that He didn't create you to be in His Son, Jesus. Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know this living Savior, Jesus? You may know all the facts. I went through them very hurriedly this morning about His death and His burial and His resurrection. It can be just a great story if you want to leave it there. Or it can be a life-changing experience with Christ. Do you know Jesus today as your Savior? Christian, are you living? Are you living in the resurrection power of Christ? Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, now so many people are taking time out with their family, which is wonderful. So many have special events planned in just a little while, just a day of relaxation. But may all in the sound of my voice in this message evaluate their life. Are they truly living like you are resurrected? Or are they treating you like you're a distant God with no interaction? Oh, Father, today I pray that they truly embrace Jesus for who He is and make Him Lord of their life, not just Savior, but Lord of their life, and begin to live in the resurrection power that Jesus brings. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.